morning we're going to be continuing our study that we started last week, Avoid These People, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Last week we talked about the specifics. It gives a list of characteristics that are about these people. And as we went over the list, I'm sure most, if not all here, understand why you would want to avoid these people. But again, as we went down to the end there in verse 5, it says that they have an appearance. It's not obvious. It's not always blatantly obvious who these people are. But we need to be careful, especially for teachers that have this way about them, that we're not led astray from their teaching. As we talked about, even Satan, when he tried to tempt Christ, used the Word of God. So we need to be very careful whom we listen to, whom we spend our time with. Today, as we continue on, Paul's going to get even more specific. Paul was never shy about calling folks out by name. In fact, every chapter here in 2 Timothy, he lists people off by name, who they are, whom we should avoid, whom they should be careful of. And it is something that we ourselves can be confident in when we are confident. Paul was confident in what he said. But what we should be doing especially is quoting the Scripture with confidence. What I mean by that is that it's amazing that it makes sense that it ought to, is the Word of God explains itself. And at times when you get confused on a passage or confused in an area, you allow yourself to read around it and read other books in the Bible, and it explains it. And it just, as Spurgeon said, us trying to protect the Word of God is like a lion, he said. You know, and defending a lion and it is silly. Right? If there was a lion in the woods, none of us would run to try to protect it. We would just let it defend itself. And that's, as Spurgeon said, that that's all you need to do with the Word of God. Is just let it out. It will protect itself. And so as we dig into these scriptures and we look, we need to be cautious. We need to be careful, but we also need to understand that the Word of God is solid. So let's, those who can stand, please stand with me. I would like to read verses, start right up in verse 1 again, right on down to verse 9. So chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power, avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins, led astray by various passions, always learning, never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Just as Janus and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for this time. And we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword and more solid than anything I can share. So, Father, I ask that you have me say only what you want said. Lord, may our hearts and minds focus. Lord, hear right now what we're going over. Please allow the distractions be to a minimum. And help us to be open to what you have for us today. And Lord, I ask if anyone here not have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that they would make that happen today. In Jesus' precious name, amen. You may be seated. So when we look at this list, a lot of times, you know, there's churches have issues. Churches across the nation are having issues. Churches across the world are having issues. And a lot of us, some of us may want to jump on and say that it's a political or economic issue. That's what's causing the problems. But it's not. It never has been what's slowed down the church. It's always been the same thing. And that's moral and doctrinal discretion, lack of discretion by the leadership of the churches. It's when the men that are leading walk away from the scriptures, allow themselves to be tugged around by this world, is when the problems happen. I think of General Booth, I believe I've shared this before, but again, a good quote. He was asked, "What do you see will be the particular challenges the church will face in the 20th century?" And he answered it this way. He said, "The chief dangers will be religion without the Holy Spirit, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell." I mean, he hit it right on the head. Especially, I see a lot more as those that believe they're saying that they're saved, yet there's no regeneration, there's no change. And you look at the Word of God and you say, how can this be? You look at this list and you say that these are issues that we may deal with, but these ought not to be traits about you. These are folks that are not of the faith. So when we dig into this, I just had 3 points. I have a handout there. I know it seems very plain, but I gave you spots there. You can put little notes in between. But we're just going to look mainly is at the appearance, that what they deny, and lastly, that we're supposed to avoid these people. Why? Why? So let's dive right into the appearance. Now again, reminding you that this is not going to be obvious. A lot of times these teachers will be clean, possibly attractive. They got a big smile on their face. They're not going to be preaching negativity. And they're going to probably be very charismatic, very happy, outgoing, excited. Again, as we were reminded that Satan, when he came to Christ, was disguised as an angel of light. The false teachers, those that are teaching things and even using the scriptures to teach these things, are not going to be obvious and just have a sign on their neck saying that what I teach you is false. 2 Timothy 3, if we look ahead to verse 13, it says, "While evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived." It says they'll just keep going. Matthew 23:25, Jesus said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside you're full of greed and self-indulgence." Many of the folks around there looked at the Pharisees and scribes and said, these were men of God. Christ calls them out and says, no, you're just full of greed and self-indulgences. John 8:44, Jesus answered back, "You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies." It's when we say, you read things like that in the scriptures and you say, well, that's extreme. I mean, to tell someone they're doing the works of the devil. But when you stop and realize that there's either only two sides. See, the fence, as we've talked about before, that may define the sides per se, the line, Satan owns that part too. There's no standing in the middle. Either you are with Christ or you're against him. That's why when Christ said these things, these guys are against him. Therefore, they must be working for the devil. The devil owns this entire land, this world right now. This is his little time to mess. The work of Satan is all about self. We talked about that last week. We see that the lovers of self, there's a self-focus. And we think about not even 20 years ago, that's been a total focus on our society. We We want our kids to focus in the schools. They tell them they need to focus more on themselves. They need to look more within. And what's within? Their heart, right? And it's all about your heart. Well, what does the Bible say about your heart? It's deceitfully wicked. Titus 1:16, it tells that they profess to know God, but then they deny Him by their works. They're detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. Now, this again, you might think that, okay, so if we avoid these folks, how do we go out and teach them? How do we go out and share them? How do we... Well, the thing is we should be not so much focused on the leaders per se, but more on their followers. See, we focus so much on the outside, looking at what's going on, and we see that these men, where are they looking? Where do they look? If these men, when they go out to try and seek followers, it says, look in verse 6 and 7. For among them are those who creep into households. Okay, this is not all of them. It says among them. There's some that creep right into the households. Capture weak women. Burdened with sins, led astray by various passions, always learning, never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. These guys are creeps. It says it right there. They're creeping. They're creeps. That's what they are. Pretty simple. Nowadays, it's even easier. Many years ago, they had to go and knock on the door, try and do on a big show. Now, you can turn on your TV and a creep is in your house. Pick up the phone. The creep is talking away. The creeps can get everywhere they need to be. And it says they grab onto these weak women. Why does he do that? Why does Satan go after them? Well, think about right from the beginning. Where did Satan start? He started with Eve. 1 Peter 3:7 says, likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. Show honor to the woman as the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. It's a simple fact. The Bible says that this is how it is. And that's why you'll see, usually, in a great mass of followings of these false teachers, there's more women than men. Now, it doesn't mean that there's no men, because we've seen plenty of men. Even the wacko that served Kool-Aid, there was plenty of men there too. Okay? We know that. Men are divided, they're sent aside, because it says that they're not just weak women, but these folks are burdened with sins. They're focused on their various passions. We'll say that sin, that makes sense, okay? Well, that's a bad thing, but what's wrong with passions? You know, I just really have a passion about these things. I'm really passionate about those things. But folks, our passion ought to be focused on Christ. You should be passionate about the things of God above everything else. I'm not saying it's wrong to have a passion about other things. I'm not saying it's wrong to enjoy a car or enjoy certain things. But they should not be greater than that of Christ. These folks have passions about many things, and it may not be a negative thing. It may be positive things. But their focus is on things of this world and not the things of God. And constantly you see this, that they grab a hold of these people and get them on this bandwagon and tell them that this is what was used to be. An example, the homosexual agenda. Okay? There's pastors that go there and preach and share at these meetings that it's okay now. Because times have changed. Because science has found that some of these men and women are born that way. Well, I'm sorry, folks, but that was in the Bible 2,000 years ago. Galatians 5:16-21, it says, but I say, walk in the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. The desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for they oppose each other to keep you to doing what you want to do. But if you're led by the Spirit, you will not be under law. Now the works of the flesh are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality. First things right there, all having to do with pleasure of yourself. idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissension, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, things like these. I warn you, as I've warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Guess what? Those are all things of your flesh, and they're there. And if you satisfy the things of the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit. And if you go that far, you're not even in the Spirit, he says. You're not going to even inherit the kingdom of God, because if the Spirit was residing in you, you would not want to satisfy these things. We knew that. But now we say, well, because it's so strong in oneself that it must be right. No. See, the flesh always wants the other thing. Look at Adam and Eve right from the beginning, right? God gave them this entire garden. All of these things. Think about that. When you're out in your garden pulling all those stinking weeds, that's Adam's fault. Okay? He didn't have to do that when he was here. It was just there. He just kind of tossed the seed out and it grew. It was great. He just got to go out and enjoy these things. There's one tree. God says, stay away. And they got to go over and look at it. First problem. Then they sit there and start pondering on it. Folks, the flesh doesn't want the things of the Spirit. It's constantly fighting against it. Think about it. You know that you need to get up early and read your Bible. But when you get up, that snooze button just looks great. It does. It's just like blaring at you. Like, just hit me once, twice, three times. All of a sudden, now you got to go. You know, you just want to sit and relax. You know, I just want to do nothing and veg in front of the TV instead of just sitting there reading my Bible. And then I got to think. I mean, folks, think about it. Your flesh doesn't want to do the things of God. It doesn't want to get up and go to church. It doesn't want to get up and go do the things of the Lord. It doesn't want to make time for prayer meeting. It doesn't want to do those things. You have to make your flesh do it. Even Paul said it. We think about Paul, the man, he's charging on doing these things. He says, listen, the things I want to do, I don't. The things I don't, I do. It's so stinking frustrating. But now we have men calling themselves ministers, pastors, that come along and say that, well, God would not have put that in you. You know, that desire within you is okay. What's wrong? It's your flesh. It's not God working in you. You just got, we have ears for the flesh, isn't it? I mean, it's amazing. We can hear that flesh loud and clear. Loud and clear. And that's my desire constantly is, as we're praying and studying the Word of God, as you see Paul's assured that I want to go there, but the Spirit's telling me to go there. I want that. I want to have that working in me that I can say, listen, I want to do this. I want to press on and do it, but the Holy Spirit is telling me, and say that with confidence, God wants me doing this though. This is what I'm going to be doing. Even Paul, I have a desire to come and see you. The flesh desired to go be there with his church, with this church. He wants to be there, but God said, I have to be here. And that was a good thing for Paul to go do that, but he didn't care. It was what God wanted him to do. That's what he was doing. There's many things that we can go through that the churches are making excuses for, allowing. That God just says, no, it's not the way we designed it. It's not the way I designed these things. What do, these imposters? They deny. It says they deny. Verse 5, it says, having the appearance of godliness, but denying its power. Now, I'm not saying they don't perform miracles. Don't misunderstand me there. Okay? The false teachers, he says in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Okay, Jesus is telling them this, but the one who does the will of the Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not cast out demons in your name? Did we not do mighty works in the name of Jesus Christ? Verse 23, it says, then I will declare to them, never, never, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. You read passages like that, and I've shared that with other folks that call themselves Christians that are living a lifestyle that does not match the Word of God. And I say, I read something like that, and there's a reverence within me. there's a reverence within me, wondering that, am I on the right side? And is that a bad thing? Does Paul say never challenge yourself? Does Paul say never examine yourself? Don't do that. No, instead he constantly is reminding you, examine yourself. Test everything. Everything. You know what that means, folks? When you're done listening to me here today, you take your notes, you want to go home, download it off the website, and listen to the sermon again, and test it, that is not wrong. You should be testing what I'm saying. You should be looking at what I'm sharing here. Every person you listen to that names the name of Jesus Christ and says, this is what I think God says, well, let's check that out. Does that match with the Scriptures? Because what you'll find is they sit there and bounce back and forth. They try to get you on around this goose chase and just get you to just put aside that verse. No, we don't need that verse. It's like they sit there with scissors and cut things out of their Bible. No, we don't need that one. No, we don't need that one. And yet you're done. You get like a Swiss cheese looking Bible. That's not what God wants. He wants you to take the whole thing. Later on, Paul's going to say, all of this is inspired of God. And it's all profitable. You say, well, some of it I don't like. But that, again, it's all profitable. It's all there, and it's all God's Word. Look at verse 8, Paul. Here he is. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in their mind disqualified regarding the faith. Okay, now these names are the only place we find them in the Scriptures. You go back, you can look at the stories of Moses, and the names are not there. So, it doesn't mean that it's made up or anything of that sort. These could be the literal names. There's also another teaching that these could have been the names that were given to these two men. Because their names, Jannes means he who seduces, Jambres means he who makes rebellion. Many believe that these two followed Moses and the Israelites when they left. And that when Moses was up on the mountain, he was there for a long time, they were the ones who led and encouraged Aaron to make the golden calf. But these two are the magicians that were there with Moses. When Moses came in with Aaron, and they threw that staff down. It says that the magicians threw down their staff and did the same thing. They were able to perform miracles. Matthew 24:24 says, for false Christ and false prophets will arise, perform great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. If possible. So it means those who even have that relationship with Christ. It's going to be tough. There's going to be men that will rise. And we're seeing even now, even more, women that are rising to be pastors and preachers against the Word of God. Beating these folks and saying that, look at what I can do. Look at, I can heal. Look what miracles I can, I must be doing the work of God. And Christ said, listen, many will come like this to lead you astray. Don't be seduced just because they can do these things. Again, reminding you back in verse 5, they have the appearance of godliness. Okay, they're not going to look like just ogres, you know? It's not going to be obvious. They're going to, and some of it is not going to be right up front. Some of it's going to be subtle. Some of it's going to be sneaking into a study and just saying, well, you know what? I don't think the Scripture, that verse means that. This is what it means to me. This is what I like about it. This is what I think it should say. Subtle things, allowing that, saying that, you know, I don't like that. I want this. And a lot of times I'll see is you'll see in a study, which every study that we use here, I really dig through it. And I'll find studies that use multiple versions concern me. And this is why. Because a lot of times you'll find is they'll pick the version that says what they like, what they want for that explanation, rather than just explaining the text as it is. They try to make the Bible say what they want it to say. And that's why you need to be cautious, even just with your version. Just anything. The Bible says test everything. Everything. If it's the true Word of God, okay? If it's the truth, Do you think God's nervous? You think God's up in heaven like this new guy's born, and man, he's smart, and man, he's just doing well, and God's like, oh, no, man, if he gets out there and starts debating, man, he's going to really mess things up for the church. You think God's worried? Honestly, you think that? I mean, some of us just get so stressed out about, well, you hear this guy, man, he can really do, he's just good at what he can say. So what? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. They got some power down there. Satan's got some power. Jesus, the gates of hell won't prevail. Nothing. So why are we avoiding these folks? Why are we avoiding them? It says there, first thing, that they lead you away from the truth. They lead you away from the truth. You know, we look at there is verse 7, it says, always learning. So these folks are always learning, but they're never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. What does that mean? The truth. You look all through the scriptures when it says the truth. What is that? The gospel. The gospel. Boy, they get close. They get you real close. Real close. They keep you away from that gospel. Why? Because once that gospel gets in, once that Holy Spirit resides within you, it'll be very plain who they are. Very plain. You'll gain this knowledge and wisdom, as we talked about in Sunday school this morning. In Corinthians, it says that you'll gain all of these things, and you'll understand that, no, listen, this is wrong. That's right. This is wrong. That's right. You don't need to be a theologian sometimes. You could sit down. I mean, folks, I challenge you. Sometimes you could just sit down and listen to some of these guys on the TV. I've checked out. I've had some young people in our church ask me to check out some of these preachers. Hey, check out this one. I really like them. And I'll listen. And if after 10 minutes or so I don't hear the Bible open, I'm done. I don't know what you're going on about, but I need the Bible, man. What are you doing? Trees are falling down. All right, sorry. Distraction. Back over here. Sorry, branches fell down. I caught my ash. This is just a branch. Everybody's car is all right. I'm serious. I mean, some of these guys, they can talk, they're just eloquent, they're nice, they're charismatic, it's good. I'm sitting there, I'm like, where's the Bible, you know? Come on. You know, they're sharing story after story after story about all these things, but I'm like, I need the scripture. I need some meat. I'm not a milk guy anymore. Listen, I love the daily bread, but it's a daily crumb to me. I'm just being serious, folks. It's good. It's great if you want to grab that, but that's eventually, honestly, I look at my kids, my babies, all right? Aubrey and Levi. Okay, Levi's still on the milk. If Aubrey was still on the milk, how many of you would be a little concerned? Huh? Come on, be honest. Huh? How many of you would be concerned? My 2-year-old is still on the milk. That you'd be like, hey, guys, it's a little weird, you know? I know you guys are homeschooling and all that, but that's a little over the top here, aren't you? The kid's got teeth. She's going to eat. I look at my boy now. I mean, every once in a while he eats like a birdie, you know, and eats a small meal. But there's some meals I sit down, that kid cleans a plate as quick as I do. I'm sitting there thinking, man, I got to eat more. Or what's going? He's got to slow down, because if he's eating like this at 6, when he's 14, I'm going to need another freezer. This is crazy. But that makes sense, right? He's 6 years old. Folks, how old are you in Christ? What are you doing? How old are you in Christ? I mean, think about it. I pause and think about that. I think, how old am I in Christ? So in human terms, if I was that old, what should I be doing? I should be walking, talking, eating. I should be able to handle these things on my own. I should be able to do these things. These folks come. They grab these folks that are weak. They're not in the faith. They're burdened with sins. And they're focused on these passions. But they keep you away from the truth. What else does it say? It says that they have a corrupt mind. A corrupt mind. Verse 8, it says, they're men corrupted in mind. Romans 1:28. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them over to a debased mind to do what they ought not to be done. The Lord allows it for so long, and then He just lets them go. He lets them go. To a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. Again, your appearance is godly. It looks good. But inside, as Jesus called those scribes and Pharisees, it's just filthy. Filthy inside. They're constantly thinking of what they can, how they can get more. Usually, it's just, as it says, they're lovers of money. A lot of it has all to do with money. Money, money, money. But folks, listen, let me understand. God owns this, the hills. God owns all of it. God owns every bit of it. And us giving and doing those things is for us. It's for us. It's all about us. I mean, really, He's just letting you play part in anything. But He's got it all. He's not stressed. It's not like because you didn't give, things aren't going to get done. Right? Honestly. He's not up there stressed out and saying, man, I don't know what we're going to do. We should take up a love offering, huh? Up here in heaven and send it down. You know? It's not working out. No, I mean, God's got this. But these folks are all about themselves. They're so corrupt in their mind and negative. That's all they want to talk about. You know, you see it on TV sometimes. You know, if you give X amount, I'll bless this hanky and send it to you. You know, like, you know, here's an example. I picked up a guy at work when I worked at the scaffold company, and we're praying for him. Wednesday night prayer meeting. Boom. His name's in the prayer list. Throw it in my truck. I pick him up at work. It's sitting on the seat. He gets in the truck. What's this? Opens it. Why is my name in your little church thing here? And I was like, I'm praying for you. I mean, read it. It says it right in there. Praying that you get saved. And he's like, I didn't know I was lost. I said, well, we talked about that. And he's like, yeah. Well, he throws it on the dash. We're done. End of conversation. So we're working in a church that day. Scaffolding. Having to do a lot of work inside this church. And he sees candles there. And it says, deposit $3 and you can light a candle. So he's like, what is this thing? I said, well, they want you to deposit $3, and then the guy comes out and he prays over your candle and stuff. But the money's supposed to, I think it pays for the candle, but also he's like, well, you were praying for me, it was free. That's a pretty good deal. You know? You know, something simple like that, but it is. I mean, honestly, it's always, it's some of those folks, it's also all they want to talk about is money and what they can get and give this. You know, I had it happen, I was witnessing to a guy, and he said he just can't stand it because he still remembers that preacher that came here in Albany. And he had this fancy watch, and he's driving this fancy car, and he tossed around this plate about how he needs more money for his ministry. And he goes, I just can't stand people like that. I just can't stand it. I was like, I'm not saying as a preacher you should be in the poorhouse, but I'm just saying, I mean, come on, man. What am I giving to? Is it that? I mean, is it so I can build you another house? They're just corrupt. And lastly there, it says they're disqualified in the faith. They're just disqualified. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul said it right here. Listen, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize this is about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? Paul wasn't worried about it. Well, you got these other churches, these other guys, these Galatians, we talked about that, right? He just left the church and these Judaizers sneak in there and they mess everything up. He says, just test yourself, guys. Make sure you're in the faith. These guys are disqualified from the faith. They're not walking with God. They may use the name of God. They may perform miracles in the name of Christ. And just because you hear those names, those are just catchphrases to them. Are they digging through the scriptures? You know, it's just, it's passages like that we're going to be getting into that I'm in awe of how you can say that God wants your entire life to be blessed and everything to go perfect. When you read right here, it says He promises that you will be persecuted. How do you do, what do you do with, you have to cut that verse out. There's no way. And Paul promises you that if you live for the Lord, you're going to face persecution. But I love this. Paul, he's so good to us. He really was. And writing these letters, verse 9, but, listen, but, you read that list, 1 through 8, you're like, man, Paul, it's going to be a mess. This is terrible. Verse 9, he says, but don't, they will not get very far. Their folly will be plain to all. as was those two men. The people of Israel are still pressing on, aren't they? Even with all their foolish decisions, the church of God, it just got, Christ gets everything going, the apostle Paul, it's going, things are falling apart, you think, man, but who, catch that, so many faiths like to focus on Peter, right? Because Jesus said that the church was going to be upon him, right? But who builds the church? Who did he say was going to build it? He said, I will build the church. Jesus. Folks, we're just pawns. Getting the blessing of participating in the work of God. Understand that. You are blessed with getting the chance to participate in the work of God. He's got this under control. He's not stressed. He's not worried. He's not thinking that if things get any worse on this earth, then Revelations is not going to work out. He's got this. What he's saying is, while you're here, be careful with whom you listen to. Be careful to whom you follow. And I have no test even when I'm preaching from this pulpit. Test it. Check it out in the scriptures. That's why you'll see me bounce from verse to verse to verse. The Word of God does a fine job. All I'm up here doing is steering us down the path. That's all I'm doing. Like I said, I plagiarized this whole thing, right? I took it all from here. It's right here. Alright, don't be impressed. The Lord used a donkey, okay? And I'm pretty sure there'd be more people in the church if we had a talking donkey here, alright? So, let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord. Thank you for this day, this opportunity we have to come together here, Lord. We thank you that you are specific. We thank you that you're very specific on the kinds of folks we just need to avoid. And Lord, help us. Lord, at times we have friends, Lord. Folks that we may call friends that don't push us to the Lord, they discourage us from God. They're constantly leading us away from the truth. Their mind is corrupt. They're not even part of the faith. Lord, I pray that you help us to be wise with our time. Lord, help us to realize that just because this flesh desires it, just because it feels good, just because we want to do it, just because everything in our fleshly mind, it makes sense, doesn't make it right. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to look to the scriptures, the litmus paper here, that will test and show us everything. Lord, I pray that even every person here has challenged themselves. They're walking in the way they ought to be walking. Are they in the faith? Are they leaning on something that someone else told them? Are they confident? Are they confident they're on with you? And Lord, I pray that you help us to be wise. When we turn on that radio, flip on that TV, pick a podcast, whatever it may be, Lord, that we'd be wise with what we're allowing in our mind. We'd not give excuses for the one who's teaching, but instead fill our minds with good, godly teaching. We thank you, God. We praise you, Lord. Pray you bless us and guide us through this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.